Buster was the first to put his education to good use. About 35 seconds into the fight, he broke away and went tearing down the county road, with Scrunch right behind him, taking a snap out of his tail every 5 steps. When Muggsy and the others saw their fearless leader running for his life, they tried to surrender. But Rip and Snort were just getting tuned up and didn't care about taking prisoners. So Muggs and the boys broke away and lit a shuck down the county road with Rip and Snort in hot pursuit. "That's what we do to calf killers," I yelled. "And the next time I catch you on this ranch..." They'd already disappeared. That was the end of that. I headed down to the house and met Slim and Drover in the pickup. They were coming out to the pasture to see what all the noise was about. Slim had his gun. I was real glad he didn't get a chance to use it. "Hank, what in the world? We thought we'd find you dead up here. What did you do to those dogs?" What could I say? "One riot, one cow dog." "They're a good dog." He got out and rubbed me behind the ears. "Get in and let's go check the heifers." Just then I heard a voice from heaven.
"Dang the luck, there goes our breakfast, Junior."
I hopped into the cab and sat down beside Drover. He stared at me with eyes as big as saucers. "How's it going, son?"
"How'd you get out of that? You're not even hurt."
"Oh, I just read them the law. Told them what was likely to happen if they stuck around here very long."
"You... no fooling?"
"You saw the results. Need I say more?"
"I guess not."
We checked the heifers, didn't find any evidence of another murder, and Slim was kind enough to give me the credit I so richly deserved. Then we went back to the house. I got double dog food, and for the rest of the day, I was treated as a conquering hero and a resident dignitary. I accepted it graciously, even though it was long overdue. That night was Christmas Eve, and old Slim was feeling so generous and full of holiday cheer that he let me and Drover into the house again. In fact, he let me occupy the place of honor in front of the stove. He'd cut a scrubby little cedar tree up in the canyons that afternoon. He set it up in a corner, and after he'd burned himself some supper, he started decorating the tree. He cut some pretty pictures out of a magazine and tied them on with a string. He wedged some apples and oranges against limbs and hung his spurs out on the end of a couple of others. Then he took his foil chewing tobacco pouch and made a star out of it, and he put the star right up on the tippy top of the tree. Then he stood back and said, "What do you think, Hank? I believe we've got ourselves a Christmas tree." Looked okay to me.